Well, once again, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday service. We'll open up with use of number 147. Number 147, shout the tidings. And when you find your places, would you please stand?
Sister Betty, Lord, and I pray that you will continue to uplift them, Lord, and I pray that you will take her in your arms, Lord, and let her enjoy the beauty that you bestowed upon her. Lord, I also pray that you will continue to be with our up-and-coming reunion, Lord, that you will provide a very safe trip for each and every one of us, Lord, that are going, Lord. I pray that you will pour out your loving spirit during the services, Lord, that they will be spiritually in tune with me. Lord, I also pray that you will continue to be with our sister, Margaret Smith, Lord, in her time of need, Lord, to uplift her and to bring her about, once again, both spiritually and temporally. But I also pray that you will continue to be with our brother Mike, Lord, that he's suffering from an illness right now, Lord, and I pray that you will pour out your loving spirit through the course of his body, Lord, to take away this illness from him, that he will provide a very safe trip for his family to the reunion. But I also pray that you will pour out your loving spirit with our speaker today, our elder, Roy Kuhn, Lord, that you'll run through the course of his body, Lord, and especially his mind and his heart and his lips, Lord, that this message that will be brought forth will be truly from you, Lord, and I pray that you will continue to uplift him in his ministry and to keep him strong and healthy. But I also pray that you continue to be with all those on our prayer list, Lord, that you will uplift them in their time of need also. But I also pray that if this is your will, Lord, that more men will be called into the ministry, Lord, that they will prepare their lives to be called into the ministry, Lord, and their families will know that the task that's at hand for them. Lord, I also pray that you'll continue to be with our little local, Lord, to continue continue to keep us strong and healthy. And Lord, I pray that if there are things that are amiss, Lord, in our local, Lord, I pray that it will be brought to our attention, that we can take care of them in a Christian-like manner. I also pray that you will continue to help us reach out to others, Lord, that are seeking and searching, Lord, that we can share testimonies and bear witness to the beautiful power and awesome glory that you bestow upon each and every one of us. And I do ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name.
Sorry about that. And we will continue with the use number 133, Send Me Forth. I think that was a perfect song for our class that we had today. Well, before I introduce our speaker, he's lucky he's preaching today instead of in Phoenix. But with that, I would like for us to once again shut outside the outside world and let the Lord be with us today, and especially with our speaker for today, Elder Roy Kuhn.
Service this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. I'd like to share a little story with you. When Val was playing the Christmas Carol, it kind of reminded me of a time that we were up in Yellowstone, and they had what they called Christmas in July. And that in the past, some years before, it had snowed up there in July, and so they celebrated every year this particular week in July. Was like Christmas up there. And they had a piano on a truck, And they were going through town singing Christmas carols, and this guy was sitting, gal was sitting there playing the piano as the truck went down the road, and I thought, that's really unusual, you know, and for some reason I just happened to think about that. When I was playing the Christmas carol day, I thought about Christmas in July. Today, the subject that I have chosen is Count Your Blessings. I think each one of us have blessings. Sometimes we don't think so. We have bad days and we think the whole world's against us, but we are truly a blessed people. And I look back and I think about what it took to bring our people into this nation, you know. I think about the Nephites, what it would have been like when Lehi and Nephi were told to give up all their worldly possessions and leave. And yet the same thing happened with our past relatives, you might say, our forefathers. Each one of us had relatives that had homes elsewhere, and they're probably very comfortable in them. And chances are the Lord did let them know that there was a better world out there that they should go to, a place where they could have freedom of religion, worship as they wanted to, and a chance for a land of opportunity. And I think about some of those old pioneers, they had it pretty doggone tough, you know, but they were closer. They relied on each other. A neighbor wasn't only a neighbor, he was a friend, someone he depended on. And they all worked together. So he went to build a cabin, while they all got in there and helped. They always worked with each other, and they had a closeness that we've lost in this generation and several generations back. I think about my grandparents, for instance. They were from Nebraska, and they came out here with to the land opportunity they felt. They felt this was really going to be the place they could homestead here and have a piece of land of their own. And so they landed up in Cambridge. And it wasn't near as easy as they thought it was going to be. There was tough times up there. And I remember one story they told was they went into winter with $3 and a sack of flour. Now that'd be pretty scary for us, wouldn't it? But the Lord looked after them, and they made it through the winter. But they were unable to keep their homestead. They finally had to sell it. And a good many people that started out with homesteads had to sell them. And eventually a lot of the neighbors that had money bought up all the homesteads. And then they had big ranches there, big farms. I think about how blessed we really are. If it hadn't been for our forefathers coming over here, where would we be? They come over to the land of opportunity, and they had these dreams, and they build upon these dreams. And these dreams have been handed down to each one of us. And I know this is really a time in the year when we should really think that and count our blessings and realize that everything we have comes from God. And that we really don't own it. We're stewards over it. But we are truly a blessed people. It tells us in the scriptures that this is a choice land above all others. And I think that's the way we feel about it. I remember one time I was complaining. I didn't like our politicians, and I didn't like the way things are going. And this friend of mine said, you know, if you don't like it here, there's a boat sailing every day. And give me something to think about, you know. Yeah, we're not completely satisfied the way our government runs things, but we could be in a lot worse place. I don't know where I'd want to go that I could be any happier. I don't know where I could have the opportunities I have here. And yet, there's people out there just waiting to get into our land, you know. The borders are trying to stop them on the Mexican borders now, trying to keep the people out. They just can't wait to get here where they can have a better way of living. And so, we should appreciate this living we have. We're kind of going through a recession right now, and things aren't as good as we'd like to see them. But We're eating good. I don't think there's anyone here that's hungry that sits in this room today. And we've got good warm clothes to wear, nice warm house to go to, and cars to drive. And we've got the basic of that we really need. And then we've got a bunch of luxuries, too, sometimes that we don't need. Sometimes we think, well, what would we do, you know, if our income continues to cut down? What would we start giving up? And I'm sure there's things that we could give up. Like Mary mentioned yesterday, she said, I can't believe it. Every time we get an insurance bill, they're raising insurance on us. Social Security doesn't go up, but enough to cover it, but it just gets worse and worse. And she says, I don't know how long ago like this. Well, we don't know, but we're still making it. Sure, we'll complain a little bit, but we are really blessed compared with other nations. And it tells us in 2 Nephi on page 113, this is a choice land above all others. I'll begin starting with chapter 12, verse 12 to 44. But behold, thus saith the Lord, when the day cometh that they shall believe in me, that I am Christ, then have I covenanted with their fathers that they shall be restored in the flesh upon the earth, upon the lands of their inheritance. That it shall come to pass that they shall be gathered in from their long disposition from the isles of the sea and from the four parts of the earth. And the nations of the Gentiles shall be great in the eyes of me, saith God, in carrying them forth to the lands of their inheritance. Yea, the kings of the Gentiles shall be nursing fathers unto them, and their queens shall be nursing mothers. Wherefore the promise of the Lord are great unto the Gentiles, for he has spoken, and who can dispute? For behold, this land, saith God, shall be a land of thine inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon this land. And we are. We are truly blessed upon this land, just like the Lord said we would be. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles. And there shall be no kings upon this land, which shall raise up unto the Gentiles. And I will fortify this land against all other nations. And when we stop and think, you know, we've never really had a war here that involved other countries upon our soil. All of our world wars have been on other people's soil. And he goes on to say, on 19, I will fortify this land against all other nations, and he that fighteth against Zion shall perish, saith God, for he that raises up a king against me shall perish. For I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king, and I will be a light unto them forever. They hear my words. Wherefore, for this cause, that my covenants may be fulfilled, which I have made unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh, I must needs destroy the secret works of darkness, murders, and abominations. And I think when it mentions secret works of darkness, I think that of certain churches that have secrets in them, you know, and organizations. I know I belong to Elks, and they had secrets in there, and there's a lot of secrets, you know, and yet the Lord lays everything right out where we can see there is no secrets, you know, and we don't have secrets in our church. It's open to all people, and we're there to teach the word of the Lord, and he wants everyone to hear his word. But it goes on to say, wherefore, he that fighteth against Zion, both Jew and Gentile, both bond and free, both male and female, shall perish. For they are they which are the whore of the earth, for they which are not for me are against me, saith our God. And so there's no dividing line there. I mean, there is a dividing line. There's not a fudge factor. Either if you're for God or you're against God. You can't say, well, I don't know. Well, you've got to make a decision. You're going to have to be one way or the other. For I will fulfill my promise which I have made unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, thus saith our God, I will afflict thy seed by the hands of the Gentiles. Nevertheless, I will soften the hearts of the Gentiles, and they shall be like unto a father to them. Wherefore the Gentiles shall be blessed and numbered among the house of Israel. Wherefore I will consecrate this land unto thy seed, and they which shall be numbered among thy seed forever for the land of their inheritance. For it is a choice land, saith God unto me, above all other lands. Wherefore I will have all men that dwell thereon, they shall worship me, saith God. And now, my beloved brethren, seeing that our merciful God has given us so great knowledge concerning these things, let us remember him and lay aside our sins and hang not down our heads, for we are not cast off, Nevertheless, we have been driven out of the land of our inheritance, but we have been led to a better land. For the Lord had made us see our path, and we are upon the isles of the sea. But great are the promises of the Lord unto they which are upon the isles of the sea. Wherefore, as it saith isles, there must needs be more than this, and they are inhabited also by our brethren. For behold, the Lord God has led away from time to time from the house of Israel according to his will and his pleasure. And now behold, the Lord remembereth all they which have been broken off, wherefore he remembereth us also. Therefore, cheer up your hearts, and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God, and not to the will of the devil and the flesh. And remember that after ye are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that you are saved. Wherefore, may God raise you from death by the power of resurrection, also from everlasting death by the power of atonement, that you may be received in the eternal kingdom of God, and may praise him to grace divine. So that's God's promise, you know, that we will prosper upon this land, that we'll have all these things as long as we walk in his ways. And yet we wonder how long is this going to continue, and we see so many people drifting away from the Word of God. Many people are saying there is no God, there are no miracles. And then many people are saying, well, once saved, always saved, you know, and all these things that the Scriptures tell us better. If we just study the Scriptures, we won't be led astray. And I look around and I think how blessed I've been, how the Lord has so much patience with me that many times I went the wrong direction, and many times the Lord's helped bring me back again. Now he gave me a beautiful wife that keeps me in line, or tries to, I mean. She doesn't always, but she tries. And she's always there beside me to back me up, to give me support in my ministry or anything else. And I'm a very fortunate person. I have the family I have. I have a wonderful family. Have a wonderful church. We have wonderful brothers and sisters in our church. And we truly are blessed if we just take a look around. I don't think any one of us can't see something really great that the Lord has given us, and it's been with us all our lives sometimes. And I think one of the greatest things the Lord has put in our lives is love. Have the love for our fellow man, for our children, for our church. Without love, we have nothing but hate. And if you have hate, you're miserable. But if you have love, you have joy. You rejoice, and you're truly blessed. And that's one of the blessings that the Lord has given us. I'm going to take you now to page 78. It tells more about this land of promise of ours. 78 is 2 Nephi also. I'll be reading 6 through 29. But said he, notwithstanding our affliction, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is a choice above all other land, a land which Lord God has covenanted with me should be a land for the inheritance of my seed. Yea, the Lord has covenanted this land unto me and to my children forever, and also all they which should be led out of other countries by the hand of the Lord. Wherefore, I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit, which is in me, that there shall be none come unto this land, save they shall be brought by the hand of the Lord. And when I think about that, that kind of takes care of our forefathers, doesn't it? That he guided and directed them. And it wasn't easy. Some of these voyages that they had over here were pretty bad, and I think I've shared this before, but one of the big problems they had was the water. They had barrels of water, and it got to where you couldn't hardly drink it, and I had a letter that came from one of my relatives, and he said, if you're going to make this journey, he said, bring along some beer, because he said, that's about the only thing you can drink. He said, the water, you just can't stand it. And they had to endure a lot. Not only did they give up everything they had, but then they came over here and they had to start all over again. And you had to be brave, you had to be strong, and you had to be tough. I think about my grandparents. They liked to go up to Cambridge. That was where they were originally from, of course, when they moved in from Nebraska. And they liked to go up there on holidays. Well, that was an easy trip. During the winter time, we had pretty severe winters back in those days. And I remember my grandmother telling me about when they'd go into Cambridge, they'd go by the way of Emmett. And Emmett didn't get that name Freeze Out Hill for nothing, because the name was given because there was a time when the snow would get so deep that you could not get in or out of Emmett. And my grandmother showed me the trail that they used to come off that mountain on. You can't believe it. It was just straight off that mountain. It wasn't hardly a road. And she said, it was so steep and there was snow on the ground, we had to tie fence posts in front of the wagon wheels to keep the wagon from running over the horses. And you can't help but think that these people were truly pioneers, you know, that they wanted to go be with their relatives and they wanted to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas. And they go to all this trouble just so they could be up there. And my grandparents, they're religious people, and they wanted to worship God also and thank Him with the rest of their relatives. It goes on to say in verse 11, wherefore this land is consecrated unto him whom he shall bring, and be so that they shall serve him according to the commandments which he has given, it shall be a land of liberty unto them. And so, that's a promise, you know. As long as we serve God, it'd be a land of liberty. But how many are failing to serve God? How long will it be a land of liberty? Only time can tell, and only the Lord knows. Wherefore, they shall never be brought down into captivity. If so, it shall be because of iniquity. For iniquity shall abound. Cursed shall be the land for their sake. But the righteous, it shall be blessed forever. And behold, it is wisdom that this land should be kept as yet from the knowledge of other nations. So he was telling the Nephite people, other nations won't know about this land. This is your land. If you walk in my ways, this will be your land and for all future generations. For behold, many nations would overrun the land, that there would be no place for your inheritance. Wherefore, I, Lehi, have obtained a promise that in much as they which the Lord shall bring out of the land of Jerusalem shall keep his commandments, they shall prosper upon the face of this land. That's what he promised the Nephite people. And they shall be kept from all other nations, that they may possess this land unto themselves. And if it be so that they shall keep his commandments, they shall be blessed upon the face of the land. And there shall be none to them molester, nor to take away the land of their inheritance, and they shall dwell safely forever. But behold, this is the clause, this is the warning he's given them. He says, but behold, when the time cometh that ye shall dwindle in unbelief, after that they have received a great blessing from the hand of the Lord, having a knowledge of the creation of the earth and all men, knowing the great and marvelous works of the Lord from the creation of the world, having power given unto them to do all things by faith, having all the commandments from the beginning, and having been brought from this infinite goodness into this precious land of promise, behold, I say, if that day shall come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, your Redeemer, and their God, behold, the judgments of him that is just shall rest upon them. Yea, he will bring other nations unto them, and he will give them power, and he will take away from them the lands of their possession, and he will cause them to be scattered and smitten. And as we know, if we look at history, we know this is what happened. They transgressed the word of the Lord, and other nations came in here. We know that the United States is called a mixing pot of the world, because every nationality, every one of us, if we looked back in our family history, we'll find out we came from different parts of the country. Of course, Mary, she came from Poland, her relatives, and from Holland, mine from Scots, and I think each one of you, as you look back, you'll find that your elders came from different parts of the country, and yet they were all inspired by God to come over here and start this new world, this land of promise. And yet, we took it away from these people because the Lord no longer protected them. He told them what would happen if they transgressed, and they transgressed, and that's just exactly what happened. Other nations came in here and took over their land, and there was nothing but battle after battle with the Native Americans. Yea, 25 now. Yea, as one generation passed to another, there shall be bloodshed and great visitations among them. Wherefore, my son, I would that you remember, yea, I would that you hearken unto my words. He warned them. He told his son, Nephi, he told him to hearken to my words and tell your people. Tell your people this is what's going to happen if they don't walk in the ways of the Lord. Wherefore, my sons, I would that you remember, yea, I would that you hearken unto my words. Oh, that you awake from a deep sleep, yea, even from the sleep of hell, and shake off the awful chains by which ye are bound, which are the chains of which bind the children of men. They are carried away captive down to the eternal gulf of misery and woe. Awake and arise from the dust, and hear the words of a trembling parent, whose limbs must soon lay down in the cold and silent grave, from whence no traveler return. A few more days and I will go the way of the earth. But behold, the Lord has redeemed my soul from hell. I have beheld his glory, and am encircled about eternally in the arms of love. And he talks about he was a parent, a trembling parent, a worried parent. And we look around and we see our children and some of our grandchildren, you know, that don't know the word of God, and it worries us. We wish each one of them would accept the word of God. I think about the reunions that we have in Phoenix, and they happen at Thanksgiving, and that kind of splits our family because we can't have our old family reunion. We have to go to Phoenix and miss out on that, and yet I think wouldn't it be great if all of our family belonged to the church and we all went to Phoenix. And yet each one of our children and grandchildren have their free agency. They can decide for themselves whether they want to worship the Lord or whether they want to be a part of Satan's group. And all we can do is pray and hope that the time comes when we can lead them and guide them and have them receive the blessings that we received. And we are truly blessed to have been brought to this church, a church that's continually seeking truth. We're continually blessed to have each other. King Mosiah, he was telling the people about thanking God. He was always one of my favorites because he was such a humble man and he wanted to be a servant unto the people, not just a king. And I'm going to take you to... I got to take a look here. I'm going to be in the Book of Isaiah, chapter 1, on page 212. And beginning with verse 50. Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then you ought not to labor to serve one another. I think about that's probably the most important thing we can do is to help one another, to serve one another, to be there for one another. I kind of help think about three people that I know really that are always out to try to help everyone. One, Joe, this fellow I work for, he's always trying to help everyone. We were over the other day and he was making a handrail and he said, well, I'm making this for some retired senior citizens, and he said, I hope when I get to be this age, maybe somebody will think of me and make something for me when I need it. But he's always doing something for someone. And then I think of my old buddy Perry. He was always there. And then I think of our neighbors. We have neighbors there that are great for helping people, you know. They want to help everybody, and they serve the Lord, and yet they don't go to church. And I sometimes think, well, I wonder how many more blessings these people would get if they did go to church and really dedicated their lives to the Lord. And yet these people are humble, and I think sometimes it's a lesson. Has anyone asked any one of you lately for some help, and you said, I just don't have time? I hope not. That's one of the most important things we can do is go help someone when they ask us. And a lot of people don't want to ask. I'm a little bit that way. I think, well, I'll make it on my own, you know. I'll get by somehow. And yet sometimes people just are anxious to help. They want to be a part of your life. And that's the way we should be as brothers and sisters. We should be there to help each other at any time we can, to serve each other. Because then when it tells us when we're in the service of each other, we're in the service of God. Back to 51. And behold, also if I whom you call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and yet hath been in the service of God, that merit any thanks from you, oh, how had you ought to thank your heavenly Father? And he's telling these people that they should thank their heavenly Father. And I think each one of us, this is a time of year, a certain season, that we thank our heavenly Father. Thank him for the many blessings we received. Thank you for an abundance of to eat and of the many blessings that other nations don't have to share. I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all thanks and praises which you, your whole soul has power to possess to that God who created you, who has kept and preserved you, has caused that you should rejoice, and has granted that you should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that you should serve him who has created you from the beginning and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath that you may live and move and do according to your own will, even supporting you from one moment to another. And I say, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet you would be unprofitable servants. In other words, we get so many blessings sometimes that we don't give the Lord the credit for. And he says, and we'd be unprofitable servants if we served him with all our heart, mind, and soul. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments, and he has promised you that if you would keep his commandments, you should prosper in the land. And he never doth vary from which he has said. Therefore, if you keep his commandments, he does bless you and prosper you. So there's that blessing again, and prosper if we keep his commandments. And now in the first place, he has created you and granted unto you your lives for which ye are indebted unto him. And secondly, he does require that you should do as he has commanded you, for which if you do, he does immediately bless you, and therefore he has paid you. And that's how he pays us, with these many blessings that sometimes we just overlook. We say, boy, that guy got lucky, or I got lucky, you know. Well, these are blessings from God. They're not just lady luck. I used to think it was just lady luck. Somebody got real fortunate and had something nice happen to them, or something happened to me. I just say, well, boy, I got lucky. But it's not that way. It tells us these are blessings from God. And you are still indebted to him, and are and will be forever. Therefore, of what have you to boast? So it tells us we will always be indebted to our God for our many blessings. I'm going to take you to Psalm 100 right now. I'm going to be reading all of that. It's not very long. It tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And I think about that, you know, that I think music is something that has started years and years ago. It was no more than some primitive man with a drum just beating a rhythm. But it was a joyful noise unto him, whether he knew God or not. But it tells us to make this joyful noise unto the Lord. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And we do that. One of the important parts of our service is that we do sing unto the Lord, and we praise him with songs and praising him with words. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter unto the gates which, with thanksgiving, and unto the courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 10. Thanking God for His unspeakable gift. Maybe I can get in the right bucket help. Beginning with verse 2 Corinthians chapter 10 on verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And I think we have most of the things we actually need that the Lord has blessed us with. And it doesn't come easy. Yes, we have to work for it. It's not just handed to us. But the Lord has given us the opportunity to work for these things so that we can have them. And they are a blessing. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor His righteous remnant forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being rich in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. And we do have an abundance when we stop and think about it. We have some we can share, just like today when we said we'd share some of this with the people that are hungry over Thanksgiving. And that's what the whole thing is, what the whole part of the things that Christ taught us, to share with each other, take care of each other's needs, and help the poor and the needy. While by the spirit of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and all unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And we realize that all things come from God, that they're all gifts from God. And we rejoice because of that. We take the third Nephi now on page 613. Beginning in the bottom of the page on verse 17. And they did rejoice and cry again with one voice, saying, May the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob protect this people in righteousness, so long as they shall call on His name, on the name of their God, for protection. And it came to pass that they did break forth all as one, in singing and praising their God for the great thing which He had done for them, in preserving them from falling into the hands of their enemies. Yea, they did cry, Hosanna to the Most High God. And they did cry, Blessed be the name of the Lord Almighty, the Most High. And their hearts were swollen with joy under the gushing out of many tears, because of the great goodness of God in delivering them out of the hands of their enemies. And they knew it was because of their repentance and their humility that they had been delivered from an everlasting destruction. And now, behold, there is was not a living soul amongst all the people of the Nephites which did doubt in the least thing in the words of all the holy prophets who had been spoken. For they knew that it must be that they must be fulfilled. They knew it must be expedient that Christ had come, because the many signs which had been given according to the words of the prophets. And because of this, of the things which had come to pass already, they knew that it must needs be that all things should come to pass according to that which had been spoken. Therefore, they did forsake all their sins and their abominations and whoredoms, and did serve God with all diligence day after day. And so they knew where these blessings came from, and they sang praises to the Lord, just like we do. And we truly thank the Lord at this time of the year. In fact, we should thank the Lord every day of our lives, because we are indebted to Him, like the Scriptures say. And then when I think of the blessings, I've had so many blessings that I just can't name them all. Would anybody like to share some of the blessings that they received from the Lord? Thank you, CJ. Don't be bashful. I know you've all got blessings.
I'm very thankful for my family always being healthy and our church family being watched out for. I have to say that also. And I'm just thankful for Tammy and Mark and Justin being here. And I feel like that's a blessing. And I feel like it's a blessing for Charlie to take hold of the scriptures like he has and to want to study all the time. And I'm just grateful for that, and grateful for each and every one of us, and my dear husband, and all of my family and friends. But most of all, I think I'm thankful for the Lord being in our lives.
I think one of our biggest blessings, you know, like we discussed in class today, is that we have the opportunity to receive the word, you know, and that we accept it willingly. You know, I think that's a huge blessing, especially for me it is, you know, because I wasn't given that opportunity, but now I do. I have that, you know, and I'm willing to learn, and I think that's one of God's biggest blessings to me, you know, that I receive, is being able to come to a church that offers this.
I agree with what Rich said as far as our spiritual blessing, but I also think that we really have temporal blessings, which are blessings in this life too. You know, I was in our crane yard last week, and our banker stopped by and asked how things have been going and this, that, and the other, and he told us that in this economy, the way it is, that if we had a decent year, we were one of the few, you know, and it just goes to show that we're really blessed by the Lord. Yeah, because we are one of the few out there that we're taken care of and watched out for this year. And I think it's on everybody's minds that, you know, the financial and the tough times we may be coming into. And I just really believe that, you know, that we're blessed by the Lord above others.
I think I feel blessed just because I know God's in my life, and that's the most important thing ever. And you can turn to Him every day. And of course, I'm thankful for my family and my church family too. But most of all, just coming to God, because I never had that before.
And I'm about thankful for the same things everybody else is. I can just say ditto.
It would be pretty hard to sit down, and you could make quite a list of all your blessings, couldn't you, if you just sat down and put each one down and numbered them. There'd be so many of them there, and then you'd forget some, I'm sure. But we are a blessed people. We're a blessed church. And we're a blessed nation. Compared with other nations that don't have nearly the opportunities that we have, I thank our forefathers that they came over here and got this all set up for us, because they were thinking in the future. And I truly believe the Lord did bring them here. They led them here just like they led Columbus to find this continent. Anybody else would like to share?
I'd like to share that what you just mentioned too. I think is another blessing is that we are able to remember the blessings that we did have.
That's right.
That itself is a blessing.
Don't take it for granted. That's right. And sometimes it's awful easy to do. Take something for granted when it's really a blessing. Well, if there's no other sharing, I'll turn it over to Rich and thank you for your time.
Before I bring our service to a close, there's one scripture that's just been, ever since class, has been gnawing on me, and I want to share this with everybody. And I found it earlier. And it's in Luke 13, verse 34. And we talked about this in class, how often that the Lord is going to bring forth his vineyard and feed it. And it's verse 34 in Luke 13 says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not." And we talked about that a little bit in class today. Here's another blessing. How often is Christ going to be there for us? That's a blessing. He mentioned this to Jerusalem. How often do you want me to come to you and beg that you will come to me? That's a blessing. And I want to share that. That verse has been just gnawing at me the whole time since our class during Roy's sermon. And I want to bring that forth, that is a blessing. That we have that opportunity to be blessed like this, that God is giving his time for us. Roy made it plain. We're blessed. We're truly blessed. And with that, we'll bring our service to a close with use number 181, Just As I Am. Number 181.
Fears within, without.
Service to a close, I pray once again, giving you thanks for the service that you provided us. Lord, I pray, giving you thanks for the message that was brought before us, Lord, that we truly are blessed, Lord, and we offer praise to thee that gives us our blessings, Lord, that you deserve each and every praise that we offer. Lord, I pray that you will continue to watch over us and to keep us safe from all evil and out of harm's way, and to protect us and to provide a shield around us. Lord, at this time for our Thanksgiving season and our Christmas season, Lord, there's time of sorrow also with others that are out there, Lord. I pray that we will come before them and let them know the beautiful word that's been given to us to give to them. Lord, I pray that you will continue to uplift us as a church as a whole, Lord, that you will be there in our time of need. Lord, I also pray that we will continue to be humble servants to thee always. And I do ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.